You're now listening to another episode of the 10 Man Podcast. And today, I have to apologize for not giving you guys an episode for so long. But hey, check it out. Check it out, guys. It's, you know, end of the year, right? End of the year vibes. But I'm going to give you guys a 10 reasons why I love slash hate the My Hero Academia World Heroes Mission movie. Okay, so this is my review. I'm going to try and not give you any spoilers whatsoever. Okay, but I'll try and give you guys, you know, enough information to understand what the heck I'm talking about. But before I get right into this, I just want to shout out a couple countries right here. Because, you know, you guys have been supporting my American channel here. I mean, I'm not like, you know, saying that, like, you know, like, I do only American stuff, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I am in the States. But most notably, since, you know, I'm getting a lot of my listenership and viewership from, you know, the States, I also do have an uprising of, like, you know, two notable countries. There's a bunch of other, you know, countries and, you know, nations supporting this podcast. But most notably, Ireland was, you know, besides, you know, America, a big contributor to my viewership and listens here on the 10 Man Podcast. So I appreciate you guys in Ireland. And then the new uprising that I've noticed within the last, you know, month is Germany. So to my fellow German brothers and sisters out there listening to this podcast, I thank you. I don't know any German, so I can't really, like, say anything, nor would I want to offend you guys. So, anyways, shout out Ireland and Germany. So, you know, two European countries giving this podcast a lot of love. But yeah, if you guys are inclined to, go ahead and check out, you know, my Facebook page. Go ahead and give me a like there. I also have a YouTube channel where I upload, you know, different anime stuff. My Hero Academia stuff, or, you know, not My Hero, Genshin Impact stuff. Anime stuff, obviously, is with the My Hero Academia. But anyways, I would just like to give you guys more opportunities to, you know, hang out with me. So my YouTube channel, Win in Rome, that's WinninRome, like, you know, the pun, Win in Rome. But yeah, anyways, shout out, you know, those two European countries again, Germany, Ireland. And now I will get right into this review of this My Hero Academia third movie, The World Heroes Mission. All right. So first and foremost, I'll just go ahead and give you guys, like, the movie plot. Maybe you guys have seen it already. Maybe you haven't. And this is why you're looking for a podcast to, you know, maybe entice you to go watch it, or maybe shade you away from watching it, you know? Anyways, so the movie plot, before we start off with the movie plot, let's go ahead and talk to you guys about just a little bit of, you know, factual actuals. We got Studio Bones, who produced this movie. It was released in Japan on August 6th of this year, 2021. And obviously, this franchise written by Horikoshi Kohei. So shout outs to Horikoshi. I know prior to the success of My Hero Academia, he was, you know, on the verge of quitting writing and, you know, drawing and blah, 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 just manga shit, right? Being a mangaka. I really like Kohei too. He's only like a couple years older than I am. And I mean, he's accomplished way more, artistically than most people can do in a lifetime. So shout out to this guy. But anyways, movie plot, like I said, so I'm going to give it a really short synopsis. But basically, the main villains, they are planning to release a toxin via explosive bombs all around the world that will cause people's quirks to spiral out of control. And then now Japan's greatest heroes spread around, throughout the world to stop this evil from occurring. Okay. So, yeah, that's just basically the movie plot. I don't know if I'm going to get into, you know, a synopsis, plot summary type thing of the whole encompassing, you know, story. But, because, you know, I don't want to review it that way like I did the Demon Slayer movie, which I appreciate you guys listening to. Is one of my most listened podcasts to date, along with just like every podcast that's been coming out. You guys have been smashing and killing and just listening to it, so I appreciate that, and that's why I had to, you know, give my whole forethought beforehand. But anyways, first topic I'd like to bring up is, basically the black heroes, the black hero outfits. Okay. So, it's basically the outfits, marketed and advertised, throughout the trailers, you know, like Good Smile Company and like other, you know, like, manufacturers, have produced, a number of, you know, figures and, you know, just different art for these specific outfits. All right. So, if you haven't seen the movie, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully, I mean, that's the reason why you came to this podcast, right? 'Cause you're like interested in My Hero Academia, right? But, like, it's their black outfits that, like, basically still have their accents of, like, of, you know, what they normally wear. Like, Deku's, it's all black, but has the green accents. Whereas Bakugo has, you know, green accents too, but still has some orange for him. And then, you know, Todoroki has the black and red, or the blue and red, rather. So, but, okay, so, like, my thing I bring up about this black hero outfit is that, like, we literally only see it, like, in the opening, like, scene. Like, or maybe not the opening scene, but, like, when we first see the appearance of Deku, Bakugo, and Todoroki. And, then, you know, it's cold outside, so it's, like, cold weather uniforms. So they jump out of a plane and, you know, we see them, you know, falling down, flying out of the sky. And then, like, you know, they fight in that one scene and we never see them wear it in the whole movie again. And it's kind of like disappointing. Like you guys take the time to market and merchandise these outfits. And then like, we only get like 5 minutes of them wearing it. And it's for something inauspicious where like, because obviously it's cold, so they need cold weather outfits and stuff. But like, I mean, it was never been a problem before, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just my gripe. But yeah, that's just one thing I hated about the movie. Like the outfits were cool enough. I didn't really like care to get any merch because of it, but or because of them. But like, you know, it's just a shame that like you design something like that and then all of a sudden it's not of importance. You know what I mean? All right. So that's just, you know, my first reason to love or hate My Hero Academia World Heroes Mission. Second topic I'd like to bring up, Roddy Soul, okay? Roddy Soul, villain, and then Alan Kay, humorized scientist. Okay, so I bring up these two names because they're two characters that were introduced in the movie that is basically, like, the whole key to, like, the hero saving the world, essentially. But I'm going to go ahead and break this down a little bit and explain why, okay? Anyways, here we go. The event synopsis, Roddy Soul, a bird avatar quirk street urchin who provides for his younger siblings. He takes on a job from the villains to steal some jewels that end up in a briefcase. So he has his briefcase now, okay? And then now Deku sees these, you know, this jewelry store getting robbed. So he gives chase after Roddy Soul, okay? Now, incoming Alan Kay. He's a humorized scientist, and he has his own briefcase of importance. he's fleeing from a fellow humorized agent who's trying to stop him, Barros, and she's, like, you know, chasing after him. It leads to a car crash, or it's, yeah, that chase of Alan Kay leads to a car crash near Deku and Rhodey, okay? Now, this car crash happens, you know, suitcases go flying, Rhodey drops his suitcase, Alan drops his suitcase, and then basically, you know, the whole mix-up of the suitcase occurs. Rhodey grabs the wrong briefcase, right? And then he continues to run away from Deku, at least tries to, but then Deku catches up. Rhodey is then under attack by the police that arrive on the scene, but Deku protects him and runs away with Rhodey. Now, because of this whole event, Deku is now wanted for mass murder by the authorities, okay? Like, they just pinned all that, all the bad stuff that's happening around the world on him, and he's part of it, okay? And this part of the movie for me was really frustrating, because, like, Deku was already trying to stop this guy, and then the authorities show up, and uncharacteristically, Deku goes against justice. He cares more about saving this villain, and I assume story-wise, this event was to provide an important role to this side character, Rhodey. So, I mean, like, I get it. I get that there had to be some device, some plot device, and it being this briefcase mix-up, giving a role, right? Giving, like, making, like, this seemingly useless, unimportant character a role. Personally, I mean, like, I get it, I understand, but, like, I mean, like, I, like, you guys, oh man, you don't understand, I just don't really like Rhodey, but I'll explain why later, okay? Cause right now, this is my third topic, okay? And this brings me up to Deku and Rhodey on the run now. They're fugitives, okay? So, by the urging of Todoroki, they go off the grid and head to the neighboring country of Clade. And in Clade, the authorities of, what is it called? Otheon, yep, which is the headquarters of the villains, I suppose. Or humorized, rather, right? The Otheon police have no authority in Clade, so that's where they hide and stuff. But in this section, this is like this sequence, right, where they're like going to Clade was really hard to watch. Okay, like it was like a weird montage of like weird vibes of like some bromance. I'm not saying bromance is weird, but it's just like, you know, we know character got, I mean, we know character. We know Deku as a character. Like, he has a thing for the ladies, namely Ochako, and Ochako kind of has a thing for him, seemingly, right? So, like, I don't know. I just felt like this buddy flick bromance vibe, like, was really unwarranted. Like, I it made me almost, like, really hate Rhodey because, like, you know, they're building up this relationship, and the story, the writing is building up this relationship between Deku and Rhodey. And then, but Rhodey basically backstabs Deku, because, like, you know, amongst this whole relationship building, they come to terms with, like, you know, Deku being, like, hero-like and Rhodey not understanding how he can be like that. So Rhodey is tired of just being in this situation. So he tries to end the chase from the police by giving up the briefcase, so he contacts the authorities, right? But the authorities that show up are actually humorized agents, obviously the bad guys, obviously the villains, the main villains in this whole movie. And then I mean, because of this, I really hate this kind of writing where, like, we kind of, like, it's obvious that there's going to be, like, character redemption. Because, like, particularly is because, like, I'm not, like, invested into Rhodey at this point, nor do I care about, like, what he can provide at this point, right? Like, it's just, it's kind of, like, forced. I get like a kind of a Dan Silver vibe from My Hero Academia Two Heroes movie, the first movie. Obviously not exactly, but it's like played out thematically in these MHA movies where someone has to get redemption, blah blah, right? This whole midpoint of the movie was pretty much unwatchable. Like for me, like I was like dozing off, like about to fall asleep. Granted, it was like 9 o'clock at night, but like I mean, I don't fall asleep that early, guys. So, but yeah, I mean, I just this is the midpoint of this movie where like Deku and Rhodey like have to like, you know, avoid authority and shit, and then like obviously, you know, the backstab. I just I watched it obviously because I mean I paid for the movie, but like I really did not enjoy that part of the movie. Like I just wanted it to get over with. But yeah, my fourth topic I want to talk about is high stakes, like question mark, you know, like were there high stakes? Like all the fucking reviews I hear about this movie, people are like praising like the high stakes, the villains, you know, doing crazy things, but like in all of My Hero Academia, like if you're a true fan and not some dude who just does reviews and shit, like for IGN, like that was one of the worst reviews for the movies ever from IGN, where they just hella like just ball grabbed, like, you know, man, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to hate on IGN, but they gave the movie like a strong 8 out of 10. They were happy with the movie. Like for me, the writing, okay, the writing for like kept trying to portray situations as high stakes, okay, but I feel like it was all forced under the guise of this unauthentic plot, okay. Obviously, it's a hero movie. Movies with villains, you're gonna get similar plots, you know, bad guy do bad things, hero try to stop it, hero wins type shit, or tries to figure it out, you know, in between, blah blah blah. I get it, you know, what are we gonna do about that, right? But okay, I think all in all, with this forced like high stakes, right? These forced high stakes, maybe this movie was just like a cash grab. Because like Demon Slayer, all right, the last podcast that I did, Demon Slayer actually like felt like it had higher stakes even on a smaller scale, right? A smaller scale being the Mugen Train. They're only on a set of train tracks. They only have to protect like the 200 passengers on the car, right? And like you know, but I just feel like there was way more writing, there was way more on the line in that movie, as opposed to this whole worldwide like phenomena happening. But maybe because like it was done, like maybe it was because of the villains, like I had no real scare, like there was no like, you know, Shigaraki moment where like, or moments, right, where like Shiggy, like we actually care about what he does, like it's cool what he does, like we care about his story. There was no like derivative that like made us from the story that was presented that made us like care about the villain's goals, right? You have to like kind of humanize the villain somehow to like make it so we have some empathy for whatever their situation is. And I get it. They try to write it where like, you know, it's the whole quirk philosophy thing, you know, anti-quirk because you don't have a quirk, or you know, the world's unfair because people with quirks, or you know, the blah blah blah, that whole same theme that keeps playing on in My Hero Academia. So like maybe because it's a movie and I paid for it, as opposed to like me watching like, you know, weekly My Hero Academia, which I pay for obviously through streaming services, but like that's like what, $10 a month, so you get like maybe 4 episodes in a month. But this movie I'm paying like $15 for, and I'm only like enjoying like 10 minutes of it. It's like, it's definitely uninspiring. Definitely it was like uncaptivating for most of the movie except for like 10 minutes, right? So that's my big gripe. That the stakes weren't high. Okay, I didn't like that. Okay, like they tried to make it high stakes, but like when you were really watching it, guys, if you were watching this movie, did you think there was high stakes? I mean, I don't think so. Maybe if you watch this and you haven't watched it, you might have a differing opinion. But let me know. Let me know on the 10 Man Podcast Facebook page, guys. That'll be the question of the day. And maybe I'll start doing that. I'll post that, and hopefully some of you guys will answer it, you know? But anyways, let me go on to my fifth topic here. And it's another topic of judgment. The animation, the music, and the voice acting. And, you know, I expected top-notch. And what they gave me was top-notch. But, you know what? Like I said, that was to be expected. I mean, this is My Hero Academia. Like, this is, like, modern anime. Like, this is the shonen, like, modern anime. Like, it's been, like, the best for a while. Like, now, right? I mean, since the big threes, like, fell off. Not that One Piece is over or anything. But, you know, Bleach and Naruto's over. One Piece is still going. But, like, My Hero Academia kind of, like, took the reins for me after the fact, right? You know, and then Fairy Tail was, like, part of the final four, the big four for me, right? Anyways, this movie, I mean, like, it was everything to be expected, animation, music, and voice acting wise, right? The ending fight scene was obviously the whole budget of the film, with the most dynamic scenes. Also to note, the Deku Black Whip quirk that, like, he's finally, like, mastered for the movie, like, gave the whole Marvel cinematic feel, you know, from Spider-Man with, you know, those camera angles that slice through cityscape. So, I mean, like, I in terms of, you know, the what goes into the meat and potatoes of the animation, music, and voice acting, or the whole franchise, right? Like, what you expect to be hard carried for this anime, did its job. You know, this part was 10 out of 10. Like, you can't really complain about watching a My Hero Academia, like, program, right? Because you're going to get top tier everything in terms of animation, music, and voice acting. So, I mean, like, yeah, they get a really good pass there. Next topic I want to talk about is finally, not finally, but the Rhodey redemption. You know, so Rhodey, he was like the character that, you know, co-starred with Deku, some random dude they try to write in. He basically got the whole Melissa role for this movie from Two Heroes, being the other hero besides Deku to save the day from the main conflict. Like, they invested so much into this character. They fleshed him out pretty well. They tried to create empathy and sympathy for him. I understand there would be no movie without him, and, like, there would literally be no way for the heroes to have a solution to save the world without him. But writing-wise, I just had no care for him as a character. Maybe because I'm biased, because I'm a dude, but Melissa was way more interesting, obviously, being, like, a cutie on screen and whatnot. But she also provided, like, some funny dynamics between Deku and the girls of Class 1A. So that was cool. I just feel, and she provided Deku with, you know, the full gauntlet, or the gauntlet on Deku's arm for that movie. Like, basically letting him do 100% every, for, like, three hits, right? So, I mean, like, that's amazing. But anyways, yeah, I just didn't care for the Rhodey redemption. I mean, like, it's cool. Like, I'm glad that the hero saved the day and he helped. But, like, you know, he already backstabbed Deku. He was already portrayed as a villain. I get they're trying to make complex characters where, you know, it's not just so cut and dry, good and bad. So, I mean, I get it. But it kind of, like, I don't know. It was definitely, like political, kind of. I don't know how to exactly explain how it was political without saying how, like, you know, it's really showing how, you know, ignorant the cops are, blah, blah, and, you know, showing how maybe how ignorant heroes can be, or how good some guy who can be, who's portrayed as or seen as bad to, you know, get the quote unquote good guys, is actually a good guy, you know. I get it. I mean, there's complexity in life, so that's what I come to understand. I get it. All right. But yeah, so that's you know, my thoughts on that. My next topic is going to be Bakugo and Todoroki, okay? Like, they were advertised to be in this damn movie. Were they even in the movie? I mean, I feel like they were only included in this movie because, like, they were in the internship with Endeavor. Like, for Endeavor. You know, Deku, Bakugo, and Todoroki in Season 5, right? But they literally took a huge backseat to Rhodey. Like, we kind of got baited by the trailers and all the art prior to the movie that they were going to be, like, in the movie pretty prominently. But they were, like, probably used to just fill movie theater seats because they weren't given any, like, important role outside of Deku and Rhodey, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, I don't know. Fan service, I guess, is what they were, like, people... There's people that hate Deku, right? I get it. So, and then, like, there's people that love Todoroki. There's people that love Bakugo. I get it. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I just feel like they kind of snubbed Bakugo and Todoroki in this film, like, from doing anything really important. Like, really important. Like, they had some good fights, you know, blah, 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 hard fights. But, like, I mean, like, was that fight the one that, like, stopped the bombs from going off? No. I mean, I get it. It's fine. It's whatever. That, like, that segues into my next topic, though. The villains and heroes. Honestly, I don't remember anything significant to mention or review about the performance of the heroes not named Deku. Like, they literally were just filler before Deku and Rhodey saved the day. Like, granted, I understand, you know, the citizens and the people need to be saved from villains and the bombs that could be deactivated and destroyed need to be destroyed. But cinematically, I just waited for Deku to come back on the screen, basically. So, I mean, like, that's kind of lame. And also the villains, like, I didn't really, like I said before, like, you kind of have to, like, to flesh out a good villain, you kind of have to make it so that we care about the villain. And it's a movie, I get it. You know, we don't have that much time. But, like, there was, like, not... They took all the time to flesh out Rhodey, but, like no time to flesh out the villains. But I get it, because, you know, it's kind of like... In My Hero Academia Season 5, they, like, alluded to this whole movie type shit, but it's not canonical, right? But, like, still, like... It was just, like, there's just no, like, importance to the villain's, like, psyche or, you know, what their thoughts or beliefs were, because it's just regurgitated stuff from before, right? Like, there's nothing new, you know, quirks versus not quirks, people without quirks it's unfair for, it's unfair that there's people with quirks and blah, blah, blah. And that's always going to divide society. I get it. All right, whatever. I mean, like, but still, like, the villains and the heroes, I mean, this movie is basically My Hero Academia, Deku's world mission. You know what I mean? Like it was literally him trying to, you know, save the day again, but with an unknown character that pretty much shines before everyone else. So, like, it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks, all right? And then, you know, I got two more topics to talk about, but the final 10 minutes of the movie was literally the only reason why to watch the movie. So if you're planning to watch this movie and you haven't watched the movie, I would personally wait to watch this movie. I would pass on this movie in theaters unless you want to see the last 10 minutes of the movie, because this is the part of the movie that we pay for, all right? The explosions, the music, dynamic camera movement, like, the sound design. We get to see Deku at 100% again, and it's totally breathtaking. Literally, what we wait to see in My Hero Academia is, like, Deku popping off, right? So if the movie had been condensed to, like, showcase that scene like heavily, like to really lead up to that scene, but like without veering off to things that I don't care about. You know, I would give this movie a 10 out of 10, but I don't. All right, I don't. Finally, I'd like to bring up that the movie screening came with a little comic slash art pamphlet slash manga little booklet with the purchase of a ticket. So that's another good reason to watch the movie, because this comic is easily netting $20, like on eBay, easily, in the aftermarket, right? So paying for a movie ticket itself, if you sell that little comic book strip thing, right? So I mean, like, all in all, because like with all that in my thoughts, this movie score, taking in consideration of the art, the sound design, the franchise, the plot, the characters, the animation, Super Saiyan Deku, that whole comic book at the end for free, or not free, obviously you pay for the movie ticket itself. With all that in consideration, I give the movie a 6 out of 10. Okay. Because I was falling asleep throughout most of the movie. But Deku saves the day with the super flex at the end. I love My Hero Academia in general, but this movie missed on a lot of things outside of like the main biases for My Hero Academia, right? The things it did right, we know, is what we come to expect from My Hero Academia. But objectively, I can't deny that I was bored throughout the movie. Like, and maybe that's just subjective, but maybe, like, obviously it's subjective actually, because like, you know, there's people who actually thought this movie was great all throughout this movie, but like I feel like you could only literally enjoy the last 10 minutes if you're a true anime fan. If you're a true, like, if you only watch anime, and My Hero is one of the animes you watch along with a plethora of other anime, you will come to know that this isn't what you should expect from, you know, My Hero Academia in general, because My Hero is way more interesting than this movie. Is like, obviously, is it was more of a fan service. This was a cash grab. I mean, like, there's really no reason to watch this movie in theater unless you want to support, you know, the franchise, which you should. But and like, obviously, you'll get that free pamphlet. So if you want to sell it, you know, you get your ticket money back, so that's cool too. But all in all, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please leave, you know, a comment, a like on, you know, my Facebook page. Let me know what you want me to review next. I'll try and get something out ASAP before, you know, maybe after Thanksgiving, but and before December. But hopefully you guys enjoyed, like I said. And check out my YouTube channel. Like I said, Win in Rome. That's WinninRome. For all your Genshin Impact, you know, anime stuff, food review stuff, anime toy stuff, anime meme stuff. I do it all. But yeah, thank you again for joining me this week. And I'll get back to you guys next time. All right. Bye-bye. Now you're dealing with smooth operator. You're just a fixin' with a whole lot of flavor.